Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
It's a power line. Many of the practices underlying success are the same. This is what Bradley Stolberg out of San Francisco believes, whether it's qualifying for the Olympics, breaking ground in mathematical theory. What are the things that are commonalities in terms of achieving success in whatever sphere you want to achieve success in? Bradley's fascinated by it. Bradley, what's happening?
Hey, how are you? I'm glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Such a pleasure. Am I right? You're just fascinated by consistently what success means and how it can impact or affect different spheres?
Absolutely. It's something that intellectually stimulates me, and then I just love the challenge of trying to dig into the science and see where there's some real data to support a lot of these common notions that were sold about success.
Is there a science to success?
I think so. I'm working on a book on that topic, and I think that the short answer is yes, there is an emerging science to success. I think that there's quite a large self-help industry, and I think some of the ideas are quite good. I think others, there's not necessarily data behind them, and I guess that's what I'm after, is trying to figure out, what are the common principles where there's actually some scientific evidence that they hold true beyond just anecdotes.
How do you, if you're studying success, then implement it into your own life? And has the study of success enabled you to become more successful in what you do, which is uncovering success? Is kind of a double-folded one, that.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I always say that I'm significantly better at preaching than practicing. But it is. It's great fun to test the various theories and to test the things that I'm learning about in my research and in my writing in my own life. And like you said, try to apply it to myself as a writer and also as an athlete.
Tell me about what fundamentals you have found to be true thus far when it comes to being successful.
Yeah, so I think that the first overarching principle, and I would almost, I don't know if I'd say the most important, but certainly critical, and I don't think that you can be successful without obeying this principle, is the notion of stress and rest. So if you think about how you would grow your bicep muscle on your arm, if you pick up way too heavy of a weight, you're likely to hurt yourself. Or you'll quit. You won't be able to do it. The stress will be too great. If you pick up a very, very lightweight and you don't really challenge yourself, your bicep muscle is not going to grow. It's going to stay the same size. And if you pick up the ideal weight, so a good weight that really stresses your muscle, but you lift weights all day, every day without ever resting, you're going to burn out, or again, you're going to get injured. So how you make your arm muscle bigger is it's following the cycle of stressing it at the right dose of stress, mm-hmm. and then letting it rest and recover. And it turns out that pretty much any muscle in your body, as well as your psychological and intellectual muscle, follows in the same way. So we like to call it the growth equation. And it's basically this notion of stress plus rest equals growth. And if you don't stress yourself, you become complacent. But if you don't follow stress with periods of rest, you're very likely to burn out.
This is a fascinating theory. It's a very cool theory as well. And it suggests that it's important to really, have moments of absolute intensity and absolute stress and absolute sort of massive hard work, but then also moments of doing very little and kind of recovering. How does one figure out that balance? I mean, if you're putting that into the context of a year or in the context of a week, is there a split? Is there a ratio you should work in when it comes to this? Is it something you need to feel out for yourself? Is it dependent on who you are? How do you figure out that split for yourself?
Yeah, so I think it's a really good question. I wish that there was a kind of a cookbook prescriptive answer that's the same for everyone. Unfortunately, there's not. I do think you have to you figure it out for yourself. And again, going back to the analogy of an athlete, part of it depends on your fitness. So if you're brand new at doing something, you're going to need more rest and the dose of stress won't be that high. But as you become better at doing something, you can stress yourself more and maybe not need the same periods of rest. But what you said is brilliant, and I think you've already caught on to the overarching concept that this functions over the course of a day, mm-hmm. over the course of a week, over the course of a month, and over the course of a year. And if you look at how a great athlete designs their competitive season, or how a great intellect or inventor designs their creative process, it almost mirrors each other. Hmm. Like, in my research, I could show you how a mathematician works and how an elite Olympic marathoner works, and it's almost interchangeable in terms of this cycle. Yeah, and then there's some fascinating brain science, and particularly about the brain and with creativity, that very rarely do people have their creative bursts while they're intensely focusing. People tend to have creative ideas in the shower, when they wake up in the middle of the night, when they're on a hike, when they're on a run. So again, it's really fascinating how the mind kind of adapts and has these breakthrough moments, not when you're working hard, but when you're checked out.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating that you're saying this. There's been a lot of literature coming out recently, this theory of work 7 years, take 1 year off. A lot of people saying you should take 2 years off at a time. But I guess it is a personal context and a personal narrative thing, and you've got to figure out what works for you. How does one get better at, you know, figuring out the flow, though, and tapping into this idea of, you know, extreme intensity and then extreme relaxation? How do you just get better at managing that process before you decide what, you know, how you split your day or your year or your whatever?
Yeah, so I think a good starting point is there is some science around the amount of time that one can very intensely focus before needing a break, and it's right around 90 minutes to 2 hours. And it's interesting, because I think if you were to ask people, you know, if you're really working hard in focusing, when do you tend to hit a wall? And most people would say somewhere in the 1 hour to 2 hour range. And I want to clarify, that means that you're stressing your mind. So you're not checking your social media and text messaging. You're really working on solving a problem or whatever it is that you're doing. So I think over the course of a day, a good starting point would be to attempt to work for between, let's say, 60 and 90 minutes, hard, distraction-free, and then follow that up with a 15-minute period, whether you take a walk around the office, if you can get outdoors, take a walk outside, maybe read a light article, listen to some music for 15 minutes, and then dive back into another working session. So I think over a daily basis, you know, that 60 to 90-minute sweet spot of on, followed by a 10 to 20 minute period of off, tends to work really well for people that are at the top of their game. Go ahead.
I've heard a lot of, you know, people speaking about this 4-hour work week theory that's come out. I don't know which author it is. To me, it doesn't sound particularly plausible. Your take on that?
Yeah, so the author's Tim Ferriss, and he's created a whole empire around it. So I don't think it's plausible. I think that the concept that he was trying to express, which is that we can get a lot done in a short amount of time if we're very focused in that time, I think that concept is true. But I don't think that anyone has truly become great at what they do only working 4 hours a week.
I guess you'd probably buy a little bit more into the 10,000 hours rule.
Yeah, I know. I think that the 10,000 hours rule, yeah, that the notion of what I take most out of a 10,000-hour rule is not necessarily the magic number, but it's the notion of deliberate practice. Mm. So within the 10,000 hours rule, it's not just that you work at something for 10,000 hours, but it's more about what you do in those hours than the amount of hours. So the scientist, his name's Anders Ericsson, and the individuals he studied, great performers, so chess masters, violinists, athletes, and what he found is that people that are at the top of their field tend to have about a 10,000-hour body of work under them. But he also found that the way that they practice is very, very different than how amateurs or even professionals that don't make it to the top practice. So the greats, they engage in something called deliberate practice, which is just very intense, deep-focused practice.
Listen, it's no wonder that you've been featured or contributed to publications like Forbes, the Huffington Post, and also been featured on NPR. If we had to put everything in a takeaway box here and you had to give one sort of, you know, overarching tip or idea out to people in terms of being more productive, achieving what they want to achieve, and figuring out how to be smart about that, what would the final sentence be?
So I think, and we didn't touch on this yet, but I think it would be to figure out what is your purpose for doing what you're doing. So what's your overarching purpose? And always keep that in mind as you set out to work. And then as you set out to work, respect cycles of stress and rest and have the confidence to rest. And remember that growth doesn't necessarily happen when you're working hard, but it tends to happen when you're resting.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the line. Certainly some food for thought there. I love this idea of extreme intensity and then this idea of relaxing, and also a powerful point you raised there about, you know, your greatest idea is not always coming to you when you're in a specific zone, but actually when you're a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more, you know, less self-conscious and so on and so forth. So it's a very powerful message here. Bradley Stolberg, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me. It was great chatting. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.